the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis. Each week, Joan brings you news from inside the Vatican and the Church around the world, as well as interviews and answers to your questions. Now, here's the host of Vatican Insider, Joan Lewis.
Welcome to Vatican Insider on this third weekend of Advent, when we mark Gaudete Sunday, a reminder of the joy that comes with the anticipation of Christ's birth and is marked by rose-colored vestments at Mass. After the news, tune in for part two of my interview with Patrick Riley, founder of the Cardinal Newman Society. We spoke when he was in Rome for the November 1st proclamation by Pope Leo of Cardinal John Henry Newman as Doctor of the Church. Patrick further explains the mission of the Cardinal Newman Society to promote and defend faithful Catholic education by supporting fidelity to the teaching of the Catholic Church across all levels and methods of Catholic education. How do they do that? How many schools meet their strict standards? A fascinating discussion, so stay tuned for that. But now the top news stories. Sunday, December 7th. At the Angelus, this second Sunday of Advent, Pope Leo reflected on the urgency of preparing for the coming of the kingdom of God and our encounter with Jesus, the just judge. When we pray the Our Father, he said, we ask, thy kingdom come. Thus, we invite God's kingdom to enter our world. So let's put our thoughts and energy at the service of God, who came not to reign over us, but rather to free us. Nothing is impossible for God, said Leo. Let us prepare ourselves for his kingdom and welcome it, and let's embrace the very luminous and concrete spirituality of Advent. Monday, December 8th. At the Angelus on the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, Pope Leo encouraged the faithful to believe in God as the Blessed Virgin Mary did, and thus give our generous assent to the mission to which the Lord calls us. In the afternoon, continuing a decades-old tradition of paying homage to Mary on her feast day, Pope Leo went to Piazza di Spagna, where he prayed at the foot of the 12-meter column, atop which is the statue of Mary Immaculate. Placing a floral wreath at the base of the column, he recited a prayer dedicated to the Virgin. The dogma of the Immaculate Conception was declared in 1854, proclaiming that when she was conceived in the womb of her mother, St. Anne, Mary was free of original sin. The Holy Father went directly to Castel Gandolfo from Piazza di Spagna to spend Monday night and Tuesday at the papal residence, as has become his weekly custom. Tuesday, December 9th. Pope Leo welcomed Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to the papal residence. He reiterated the importance of ongoing dialogue and once again stressed his urgent hope that ongoing diplomatic efforts will lead to a just and lasting peace. The two heads of state also spoke about the issue of prisoners of war, calling for ensuring the safe return of Ukrainian children to their families. The two previously met at Castel Gandolfo in July. Also Tuesday, in a message addressed to a congress held in Nairobi, Leo XIV urged Catholic educators in Africa to help young people regain confidence in their future, especially those driven to leave the continent. He called for formation that strengthens family life, revives solidarity and sacrifice, and shapes leaders committed to the common good. He said Catholic education aims not only to develop cultivated minds, but also full hearts, capable of compassion and concern for others. Young people, said Leo, are the wealth of Africa, and educators must find effective ways to guide students toward the future with confidence. Also Tuesday, Vatican News reported that, in response to the emergency created in Southeast Asian countries devastated by cyclones and monsoon floods, the Holy Father has sent assistance through the papal almoner to the most affected countries, including Sri Lanka, Indonesia, Vietnam, and Thailand. Tuesday evening, in remarks to journalists as he was leaving Castel Gandolfo, Leo spoke of the historical alliance between Europe and the United States, and he also confirmed the Holy See is working behind the scenes to bring Ukrainian children deported to Russia back home. commenting on what he has seen of the U.S. president's peace plan for Ukraine. Leo said it appears that, unfortunately, what was for many years a true alliance between Europe and the United States could undergo a huge change. He said, quote, remarks that are made about Europe, also in interviews recently, I think are trying to break apart what I think needs to be a very important alliance today and in the future. He said the U.S. president and his advisors have the right to put together a proposal, adding that he believes it has a number of things that perhaps many people in the U.S. would be in agreement, while I think many others would see in a different way. Wednesday, December 10th. Leo met with a delegation of the European Conservatives and Reformist Group, ECR, of the European Parliament, a center-right political group within the European Union's legislative body. He encouraged members to recall the European Union's Judeo-Christian roots and uphold the inherent rights of every person from conception to natural death, not only to safeguard the rights of Christian communities or preserve passing social customs or traditions, but because it is a recognition of fact. Leo thanked the democratically elected politicians for their service to their constituents and the wider European community, and urged them, as they seek to advance the common good, never to forget their duty to include people on the margins of society. Also Wednesday, at the general audience in St. Peter's Square, Pope Leo highlighted the importance of reflecting on death, especially in today's world that tends to avoid doing so, to discover the power of Christ's resurrection and thus find a new meaning for our life. To know that death exists, and above all to reflect on it, teaches us to choose what we really want to make of our existence, he said. We must pray to understand what truly brings the kingdom of heaven and to let go of what is superfluous and ties us to passing things. We must remember that our time on earth prepares us for eternity. Thursday, December 11th. Speaking to organizers of the Zayed Award for Human Fraternity, Pope Leo reflected on the need to be witnesses of kindness and charity in a world marked by division, while also taking concrete steps towards achieving fraternity. The Zayed Award is an independent and international prize that recognizes individuals or organizations around the world who work to bridge divides and build genuine humanity, often at personal sacrifice. Also Thursday, to mark the 100th anniversary of the Pontifical Institute for Christian Archaeology, Pope Leo met with students and faculty, and he invited them to engage in cultural diplomacy, build bridges, serve as a tool for ecumenism through their work, and to be a reminder of Europe's Christian roots. He met with the group on the same day he published an apostolic letter on the importance of archaeology in light of this commemoration. Friday, December 12th, in an address to Italy's secret services, Pope Leo called for intelligence activities to be firmly regulated by law, subject to judicial scrutiny, and transparent in their financial governance. National security, he said, must never come at the expense of fundamental rights, including private and family life, freedom of conscience and information, and the right to a fair trial. Confidential information must never be weaponized, he said, to intimidate, manipulate, blackmail, or discredit public figures, journalists, or civil society actors. This applies also to the ecclesial sphere. In some countries, he said, the church becomes a victim of intelligence operations that, quote, act for wrongful purposes, oppressing her freedom. Also Friday, the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, in a message addressed to Latin American priests, seminarians, and religious men and women studying in Rome, Leo XIV encouraged them to remember their calling to follow Christ and to strive to place God above everything. At 4 p.m. Friday afternoon, Pope Leo presided at Mass in St. Peter's Basilica for the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Wow, so many news stories this week, but stay tuned for part two of my conversation with Patrick Riley as he tells us more about the Cardinal Newman Society that he founded in 1993.
proclaiming the faith, changing lives.
The year was 2010. EWTN provides live coverage of Pope Benedict XVI's historic visit to England and Scotland, including the beatification of Cardinal John Henry Newman. This was the first state visit of a pope to Britain.
To learn more about Mother Angelica's life and the history of EWTN, visit EWTN.com/Mother Angelica.
This is a Messy Family Minute with Mike and Alicia Hernan. Very often, parents contact us for advice on disciplining their kids. Children are raw personality when they're born, and it's the job of parents to shape them into civilized human beings. Moms and dads need to create expectations, structure, and rules to teach kids how to respect other people. But those rules need to be enforced within a relationship.
A good maxim for parents to remember is, rules without relationship breeds rebellion. The first step in disciplining our children is to invest in our relationship with them. This is true if your child is 4 or if they're 14. Fill up their love tank, learn how they tick, recognize their amazing uniqueness. This will open their hearts to the guidance that only you can give as a parent.
Visit us at messyfamilyminute.org to access our discipline guide and other resources designed to encourage and inspire Catholic parents like you.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider. Here's Joan Lewis.
Welcome back to part 2 of my interview with Patrick Riley, a friend of many years and founder in 1993 of the Cardinal Newman Society. We spoke when he was in Rome for the November 1st declaration by Pope Leo of Cardinal John Henry Newman as Doctor of the Church. Patrick, this week in part 2, further explains that the mission of the Cardinal Newman Society is to promote and defend faithful Catholic education by advocating and supporting fidelity to the teaching of the Catholic Church across all levels of education, identifying and promoting clear standards of Catholic identity and best practices in Catholic education, and recognizing exemplary Catholic institutions and leaders committed to truth and the integral formation of their students. How many Catholic schools meet these standards? How does the Newman Society vet institutions to determine if they are faithful to Catholic teaching? So, Patrick, if you have vetted, you've gone to and visited a college, a university, and it doesn't meet the standards, the main thing is it does not get into the guide. Is that the...
That's right.
That's right.
I mean, we're not any kind of official designation. They're still recognized by their bishop as a Catholic institution. But what we're looking for is we're trying to help families to find institutions that truly live up to their mission of Catholic education. And the sad fact of it is that most Catholic colleges and universities today simply don't meet those standards. Far more in elementary and secondary education do, but there are a lot, and I would say the majority, that do not. And we're in that process, as you said, of vetting. We're trying to add about 100 schools each year to the Newman Guide, those that we've vetted and have met those standards. But it takes a lot of work. Sometimes it takes months for them to...
But do they ever get back to you, the ones who didn't make the guide? First of all, do they ask you why? Do you know, get in touch with you and say what?
Oh, sure.
How did we mess up?
Sure. This isn't just a one. We don't just go in and kind of do a blind review and then tell them yes or no. It's a process, and there will be institutions we work with that at some point may say, look, this one standard is just too far for us. We're not going to do this. And yet they will improve their institution in other ways, and at least that's movement in the right direction. So by upholding standards, by celebrating and promoting those that meet those standards, it's helping to create this reform happening beneath that with institutions that either are striving to achieve those standards or by simply letting families know that an institution does not. And good, faithful Catholic families, I believe, should want a school that meets these standards, because a lot of schools look at these as high standards. Sure. We look at them as a baseline for what Catholic education really ought
to be. The starting point,
mean.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Well, you know, I noticed another question you had on the site. is what should you look for in faithful Catholic education? In a way, you've been answering that. And here are the key elements. So salvation of souls, Catholic community, prayer, scripture, and sacrament, integral formation, and Christian worldview. Right. Most of those are pretty, easy to understand. Explain the Christian worldview.
Christian worldview. So this goes to Newman. This goes to the heart of Newman. Understanding the world through the insights of the Catholic faith, right? So he would say that it doesn't matter what you study, whether it's math, science, history, English, literature, all of it should be studied with the insights of the Catholic faith, because divine revelation gives us so much more understanding of anything. And ultimately, he literally said that a secular institution is not what it claims to be if there's a God. Because if you're truly saying that we're about truth, we're about learning and discovering and trying to understand the world, and you do that by very deliberately excluding that which enters into everything and which is the most fundamental and first principle in any kind of study, then you're providing something that's much lesser than what a true Catholic education is.
And then integral formation is, it's body, mind, soul, intellect. It's
exactly
the whole person.
Paideia was the word that the Greeks used, right, for total formation, not just intellectual, but in body and soul.
Spiritual, yeah.
And Christian paideia would, of course, be doing that with the insights of the Catholic faith.
Well, and of course, Newman always talked about the holistic. He was for holistic. I guess that's really what we're saying.
Yes.
The holistic development of... the education should cultivate intellect, character, and spiritual well-being, and not just provide information or skills.
Right. And we live in a world where the typical understanding of education is how many facts and figures and how much information do I know? And Newman strongly condemned that. He said, I would rather students sit around a table and have a discussion about something really important than to be oppressed by an education that just fills their heads with so much information.
Right. I love the word that's used most often by him in the research I did. He aimed for the enlargement of the mind.
That's right.
As the expression goes. So more than vocational training, which we just said. He emphasized the importance of a comprehensive, integrated curriculum and the personal influence of teachers on students. And he advocated a liberal education should cultivate, a well-reasoned character, integrate the various fields of knowledge, and promote a deeper understanding of the world, which is pretty much that viewpoint.
Yeah, and that's all Newman. Mentioned. I do want to make the point, though, because often Newman is encapsulated, people will describe him as an advocate for liberal education. And he himself said a liberal education does not provide conscience. It does not provide virtue. It can't just be a secular liberal education. It has to have the influence of the church and the insights of the Catholic faith, and it has to have that total formation of the person.
It can't be a fragmented education.
Exactly.
Putting every single thing together. And but I loved his emphasis in so much of what I read about the personal relationship between teachers and students. How he called it so vital for dynamic teaching and the development of character. And I can't imagine, I just go back to my own school days, I always had some kind of a rapport. This was not a person who just walked in the room and taught me French and then went home that night and looked at my test results. A teacher will tell stories. They'll help you if they sense a weakness in your character or some kind of, failing, whatever. They, when they're smart, good people, they can help you overcome that. They've got to have that kind of one-on-one relation. Because more than anything else, that'll inspire you.
That's right.
If you find you're having a problem with something, and oh my gosh, look how Miss Brown handled that. I learned so much from her, and I'm a better person. So that relationship is very, very vital.
And for him personally, he was a great intellect, obviously, and wrote amazing things in theology and philosophy and such, but he was also known for that great, strong personal relationship that he had with with students and even with their parents. And his Episcopal motto was Cor ad cor locator.
Oh, heart speaks to heart. I have a beautiful mug in my kitchen. When I was in the UK for Benedict's visit in 2010 to the UK, and then, of course, obviously for the beatification in Birmingham of Cardinal Newman, one of the many souvenirs you could buy, it's a beautiful porcelain cup, and it has Heart Speaks to Heart in English on it.
That's great. That's great. It's such a great motto for education, but really for any kind of Christian relationship.
Yeah. What have been some of your biggest satisfactions with the Cardinal Newman Society and the work you do and the guide helping families and so forth?
It's such a great delight. I mean, God is truly blessing this great renewal of Catholic education. I mean, really exciting things are happening. And that's, some people look at that as, okay, well, that's one corner of the church. Good things are happening there, but then they see all the problems elsewhere and the scandals and the other issues. And education is the formation of the person. And when we have good Catholic education, when we have parents who are deeply engaged in the formation of their children, and we have the church deeply engaged in the formation of children, it can only result in a great renewal of faith and fidelity and activity within the church. And so I really see very good things happening. And already, when we see the graduates of these institutions that we recommend in the Newman Guide, who go off and go into every kind of field imaginable, but they're outstanding in the practice of the particular area that they're working in.
Sure.
But they're also just amazing people who and others see that
the
and
Christian
are attracted to
dimension
it.
Yeah.
Right. And
the
this
faith.
Is what Newman wanted. He wanted the laity to be able to live the faith, to be able to defend the faith, to be articulate, to be able to think well, and to not be vulnerable to all of these ideologies and these falsehoods that come through at different ages.
Oh, sure.
And we certainly have those today. And young Catholics today are so vulnerable to gender ideology and to
all
of
these
things.
When I was growing up, for sure, there wasn't even internet or anything else like that. Certainly no social media.
Mm-hmm.
How social media, with its fake news, with its AI answers to questions, this can be so difficult. I don't know what I would do today as a university student. I've got my phone, my mini computer, and I can access video, I can access truth and beauty, and I can also access just the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And so that can be very, very scary. Now, the Pope said, I think it was yesterday's talk, I'd have to check, when he was meeting with the Jubilee meeting with educators. He said, education is absolutely the most beautiful thing in the world for how it can transform society. So
yes. Well,
what are some of the things that, papal remarks and other things, that you're going to bring back to the Newman Society from these days here, from papal talks?
I mean, especially today's homily where he praised the virtues and of Newman as an educator, and I think his example to Catholic educators today is so vitally important, and the way that all of this has made Newman so visible now to so many people. I mean, you know, in the United States, a lot of people know that name, Newman, because in particular because of the Newman centers,
yeah.
But the Newman centers actually were centers that were named for Newman as an honor to him. His life was focused not on Catholic centers at secular institutions, but on Catholic education and the vital importance of it. And as more people get to know him and understand him better, the impact that I think that's going to have on the church as a whole, and especially on families. There's such a need for families to be stronger, for parents to be more deeply engaged in the education of their children.
And there were so many great quotes this week by the Holy Father on education. I'm sure you probably will be putting some of them on your site, you know.
Right. So some of it, of course, it's all in Italian, right? So some of it's now coming out finally in the English versions. And
I believe there was English for the Angelus today,
right.
November 1st. Homily, usually they give in several languages.
Yeah, well, I've been doing the translations and trying to understand everything, yeah. And it's just beautiful. I mean, he has a great vision, and it's all about that total formation, the understanding, yeah, that ultimately a good Catholic education is an act of love. It's a formation of the soul, and that's ultimately, it's the whole purpose of education is to lead young people into communion with God.
Sure.
And so, yes, it's formation of the intellect, but so that we can know and love and serve God better. And that's what the purpose is. And he's helping to, through all of this, to direct the faithful to that. And I think it's just, I'm very, very excited. I'm very hopeful for the future.
Well, you know what I'd like to do, Patrick? Our time is coming to a close anyway. I would love to close on those words, because beautiful words by the Holy Father, but that have also restated your mission at the Newman Society. So I should have also said earlier that I've been talking with Patrick Riley, who's the founder and CEO and president of the Cardinal Newman Society. So I'll be posting that link on my blog when we talk about this. And but thank you for your time today, because of all that you have to do, the people you have to see, the events that have been here for this Jubilee of Education, I want to thank you for your time and this wonderful input. There's going to be a lot of excited parents and students listening to this. Our parents are going to listen. They're going to say, they're going to send a link to their kids at university, you know.
Good.
So,
well,
yeah.
That's great. Good. Yeah, check out the Newman Guide.
So thank you so much for coming and renewing a friendship that goes back many, many years.
You know? Thank you, John.
And anyway, God bless you, and safe travels as you go back.
Thank you, John. God bless you.
For more information on these stories, or to check out Joan's blog and to ask her a question, go to EWTN.com. That's EWTN.com. Thanks for listening to Vatican Insider on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.